are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of April. We'll go back and look through the Thunder the way we would the Jazz. We'll do our own pre-scouting of what they might change. Look at Game 2 adjustments and give you the Pack Friday for the final of the regular season and initial playoffs. It's all coming up on this edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look behind the curtains. Hope you're doing great. Thanks very much for tuning into today's program. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, Intercap Lending, and Slow the Flow. Wanted to let you know, a little news note. Arizona Sports is reporting Igor Kokoschkov will interview for the Phoenix Suns job. So that's exciting for a member of the Jazz staff. He's actually in charge of the scouting report for the Jazz and the Thunder, along with Lamar Skeeter, both of them doing great work. Here's what I want to do on today's show. If the Jazz had had the final 5 minutes that the Thunder had, or final 7 minutes, really, we would go through play by play and try to figure out what's wrong. I think it's worth doing to the Thunder. And that's what we're going to do in segment one. Segment two, we'll talk about the adjustments. And then there were some people that are upset we didn't get Pack Friday to wrap up the season. I thought it was better to preview the series. So we'll do that today as well. So with about 7 minutes left, Steven Adams checked back in. Carmelo Anthony checked back in. That's where we're going to start this. There's 7:14 left. It's Jazz 87-85. Out of the timeout. Favors comes in for Ingles for the time being. Ingles will return and make a bunch of big plays later. The Mitchell turns it over. Anthony gets a steal. Jazz commit a nice foul, and now they're into a half-court set. But they do everything fast. In fact, one of the things that we've really that I talked about was whether or not the Jazz could slow down the Thunder in the shot clock in this series, and so far they have simply not been able to. Teams throw the fewest passes against the Jazz of any team in the league, and I would tell you that in this playoff series, the Thunder are absolutely getting off the ball incredibly fast and getting into their offensive plays and their shot clock, using early in the shot clock almost all the time. And it's interesting to see. They have done a, if that's an area where the Jazz wanted to change the game, that's not an area where they are changing the game. And that's evident here. They don't get fast break opportunities, but they are early in the shot clock. In fact, here are the numbers so far in the series. From 18 to 22 on the shot clock, the Thunder are using 19% of their possessions. Let me see if I can. I don't know if I had these exact numbers. Yep, here we go. All right, I can give you a comparison. In the regular season, that's exactly the same. They were at 18%, fifth highest in the league. From 15 to 18, they were at 18%. They have now, that's the one, they're now at 22%. So they're much quicker and good in that time period too. So they have gone from 18% to 22%. Their effective field goal percentage is up from 56 to 59. From 7 to 15 in the clock, where in the regular season they were at 40%, they're at 41%. Their effective field goal percentage is up a little bit from 54 to 55. From 4 to 7 seconds on the clock, this is where you'd like to get them, back half of the shot clock. We just have not been able to do this to them at all in this series. And if you break the shot clock into quarters instead of the way they're doing it here, they only shoot 39% effective field goal percentage in the last 6 seconds. I'm talking last 7 here. But it's just the Jazz have not been able to give him. So here, the Thunder in this circumstance are down to 8% of their possessions, which is exactly what they were during the regular season. And they're shooting 46% in those, which is about the same. And the very late in the shot clock, the Thunder have only used 5% of their possessions. They used 7% during the regular season. And they've actually been pretty good on those at 56%. In the regular season, they were brutal at 29%. So as you will see in this breakdown, this is an area where the Jazz have not impacted the Thunder yet, is when they can use shot clock. So first possession, 6:54 left, 18 on the clock. Westbrook pick and roll with Grant. It's a pretty good play. Grant gets behind Westbrook. Westbrook drives. Adams waiting in the dunker. Go little confusion. Favors goes to is kind of trying to deal with Grant rolling while Gobert deals with Westbrook driving, leaves Adams open for dunk. So half as much as they run a half court set early in the shot clock, coming right at you, quick hitter, boom, they execute it perfectly. Adams for a layup. Mitchell misses a pull up three. We're tied at 87. Carmelo Anthony in transition, pull-up trailing three, misses it. He hits 37% of his catch-and-shoot threes, 40% of his early three-point threes. That's not a bad shot. He got a good look. He missed it. He just missed it. Grant gets the rebound. Great defense by the Jazz. Force a turnover. 5:45 left. Half-court set. Now, this is an interesting sequence because all of a sudden, each of the stars go one-on-one. Out of nowhere. They just nice ball movement. Westbrook hits Anthony transition. Good Westbrook to Adams for the, and they're only, you know, their possessions are one pass. No, right? Like, there's one possession I think has two passes in the final 7 minutes. The Westbrook comes off a pick and roll with Grant. He goes one on one, isolation. Westbrook comes off pick and roll, kicks it to George. George goes one-on-one on Donovan, free throw line, pull-up jumper, miss it. It's a bad shot. Like, that's, Paul George is a 40% mid-range shooter. That's the exact shot we would like Paul George to take. It's off the bounce. He got back to his left hand, which he prefers on his jumper, but it's not a shot where he's particularly good. He's a 33%. So I lied. He's not 40%. That's Westbrook. He's a 33% mid-range shooter. Next possession down, Westbrook goes isolation on Rubio, one-on-one, left side, fade away, post up, misses. Great job by Ingles on the rebound. Next possession, Anthony, isolation on Favors, beats him on the right side, but misses at the rim, where he's not been a great rim finisher any longer. Favors plays it pretty well defensively, keeping him out of the middle and defending it at the same time. So there, all of a sudden, is this sequence of three straight isolation plays. And that's what they're being criticized for right now, is that they all want isolation. Okay, they did it there for a minute. They come out of this, and this is important. It's 89-87. Mitchell just hit a layup off a Rubio give. And now, Westbrook and Adams play a pick-and-roll game underneath. Westbrook snakes back underneath the pick-and-roll, and Adams gets an easy layup, maybe even a dunk. Okay, so now they're executing. They go back to that kind of top of the circle pick and roll with Westbrook, not using George or Anthony. It works. That's now 2-for-2. 3:49 left. This time Westbrook comes up early on the right side of the floor. I mean, early, 18 on the clock. They are just hitting you early. It's not fast break. It's early. They will come at you early. If it doesn't work, they back it back out and start over. They almost never started over late in the game. 3:49 left. He comes over right side, subtly goes at Rubio and Gobert, bounces it to Adams, who gets a nice easy layup. Okay, it wasn't quite the same thing, but it was early. It was there. It was Adams, Westbrook. Boom. They're now 3-for-3 on combinations of that sort. It's 92-91 Jazz as Rubio, after Rubio had hit the three. Rubio misses a deep three. Here they come down for the lead, and Westbrook pulls up out of a pick and roll into, on a right side, 20-foot jumper off the bounce. Exactly the shot the Jazz want him to take. Kind of a mystery. Like, why would you suddenly take that shot? Everything's working. Now Westbrook pulls. Gobert dropped from 16 feet. And they miss it. That's the, you know, Westbrook mid-range 40% shooter. Fine. 3 minutes left. Paul George. Don't actually have the video on this play. He misses a 16-foot pull-up jumper. Again, 33% mid-range shooter. Fine. I'll have to try to find the video on that play. The league doesn't have it up right now. For some reason, it's the one play that's missing or it just didn't come up. And I'm trying it again right now to see if it was an isolation or whether it was. But that play is just not. Oh, here it is. All right, good. I can see it. Paul George, Donovan, pick and roll with Adams. Just pulls into a contested 15-foot pick and roll jump shot. Okay. With Adams, again, one pass. Came to them, one pass, go. Not, they're not doing more than that. 2:42 left. Westbrook comes downhill from the top off an area screen from Grant, which means Adams has fouled out of the game now. Worth noting, they go to Adams two in a row. Westbrook pulls up once. They go back to a George Adams pick and roll. Adams now fouls out. So now they don't have their primary offense. It's 94-91 Jazz. It was a not very good call by Gary Zielinski. Jazz got benefit of the whistle. So Brewer comes in for Adams. Gobert makes the free throws. It's now a four-point game, 2:48 left. Westbrook comes at the top off a Grant area pick. So instead of having Adams go up to the picker, they have Grant set. Westbrook has downhill momentum coming off of the pick, drives. Paul George is flaring to the top for a catch-and-shoot three. Ingles alertly realizes the timing's off on it, goes and defends Westbrook, forces him into a miss. Really good play by Joe Ingles. Next possession, they Euro foul. Westbrook, he gets two free throws because they were in the bonus. 1:44 left. Westbrook straight ahead drive, just beats his guy, kicks to the corner. Jeremy Grant is wide open because Gobert's the center, Grant's the wing, but Grant's a 25% corner three shooter and misses. 1:19 left, they go Grant one-on-one on Gobert from the top. He beats him for a layup. And then with 56 seconds left on the possession where they actually move the basketball, George penetrates, kicks up top to Westbrook, rotates to Anthony, misses a catch and shoot, game over. The takeaway here is about three or fourfold. One is the Jazz kept them out of initial fast break action in the final 7 minutes. Two, they still came at you fast and quickly, and the Jazz were remarkably well set defensively on those possessions. Three, they did have a brief isolation, selfish moment there, but not anything too outrageous. Four, they don't pass much. They're 28th in the league in passing. People don't pass against us. That's obvious in the fourth quarter that they don't pass. I mean, they really didn't pass. I don't know if I have data that I can find that and show it to you, but jumps out. Not a lot of ball movement. They're getting into their initial action. If the play's called for you or the action's for you, then they're running it. The final one, and we'll get more into this coming up, is the idea that the pick and rolls with Adams were pretty darn good. Right? So that they have something there. All right, by the way, let me look at passes. In the playoffs so far, the Thunder have thrown 456 passes, which is the fewest of any team so far. Now, passes per 100 possessions, a better number. They're still the fewest, 225. We're throwing 302. I don't know if I can do this. Let me look. I'm looking to see if I can break it into a quarter for you. It does not look like it. Period. Haha, let's look. Fourth quarter. Thunder are throwing 236 passes per fourth quarter, which is, so they're not necessarily throwing less, unless, of course, I go look at the last, find that one game. Let's see what, now I'm down to fourth quarter of the last game, and it didn't work. I have too many filters going on. They threw 228 passes in game, and I don't know if passes matter to them the same way it does to us. They threw 228 passes in game two. They threw 228 in game one. I mean, that's just who they are. All right. So what did we learn here? What are the adjustments? What do we look for in game two? We'll hit on next. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. I'm driving the Kona. It's fun. So the Kona is their new small SUV. I would call it the bite-size SUV. It's like the Subaru Trax, Sports Trax, whatever it is. It's pretty cool. $20,000 car. Good little juice to it. It depends, obviously, what you put into it. I've got the all-wheel drive version, which I evidently may need today. It's got, pops up the canyon really nicely. It's kind of quick. It's easy. It's got that, it's kind of that fun size that everyone likes so much. Really like what Hyundai's done here. And then when you're dealing with Hyundai, you're getting the 100,000-mile Hyundai assurance. When you're dealing with the Murdochs, you're getting the Murdoch guarantee of no regrets, 5-day return policy, price match guarantee, car washes and oil changes for life. I've been just blown away this entire time I've been with Hyundai on what they bring in. I've now driven the Ioniq Hybrid, which if you're in the market for a hybrid, looking for that for the summer, do not just go buy the Prius right away. Go check out the hybrid, the Ioniq. It's fabulous. The Santa Fe Sport blew me away. We're looking to see if we can go get a Santa Fe 3 with three rows of seats and look and see what possibility there for the family. I mean, we're believing in what we've experienced with them, with the Hyundai so far, and the 100,000-mile assurance tells you a little bit about who they are. Check it out, 4646 South State Street, Murdoch Hyundai. They're also out in Linden as well. Say hi to Blake when you're there. You don't have to ask him about his golf game. You don't have to ask him about that. I promise you really don't have to. Today's show is also brought to you by Intercap Lending. This is who we did our refinance with. It's a nice thing about a lot of these sponsors is we've used them, and then I feel comfortable allowing you to telling you to use them as well. So Intercap is a 40-year mortgage company. Josh Romney brought them to Utah in April 2016. They can serve you inside or outside of Utah. They really have done a nice job with being able to service various mortgages and loans in different ways than other people. Why? Because they're a direct issuer. So they're able to be hyper-responsive. They're able to embrace change. They're able to improve your borrower experience. They're doing things a little differently. If you have a loan that can be difficult, now that can be you have low credit. That also can be you're self-employed. That also can be you have multiple properties. So it's anyone on the spectrum of situations. If you have a bunch of business assets and the banks kind of try to figure that out, let them take a look at your loan. Steve Carter's my guy. 385-800-8528. 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Download the app and see how easy it can be for you already. You can get pre-approved in this crazy market. Really, I had a great, easy experience with them doing it during the season. The fact we got it done just blows my mind. Intercap Lending, call Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. All right, what adjustments do I expect? First thing I really expect is a lot of Adams-Westbrook pick-and-roll game. So Adams and Westbrook in the pick-and-roll this year, they ran it. Westbrook ran 2,900 pick-and-rolls. Felton ran 1,400. George ran 1,000. Carmelo ran 275. So if they're going to go to the pick-and-roll game, they're going to go to Westbrook and Adams. Westbrook and Adams for the season average about 0.97 points per pick and roll. Post All-Star break, they averaged 1.02, which is really good. Okay? So now all of a sudden you have them, that's actually their best stuff. And they have not run it a ton in this series. And the reason I would assume on the pick and roll that they have not run it a ton is because they're trying to get everyone else involved. So far in the playoffs, Westbrook has run 70 pick and rolls for Oklahoma City. Paul George has run 35. Now, let's dig in a little bit deeper and see what their success rate has been on pick and rolls so far in this series. And I think what you're going to see is you are going to see these guys that you want, that they're going to go to this. So Westbrook, as I mentioned, has run 70 pick and rolls. With Adams, the number is 1.0. Paul George's pick and rolls have been the best because he was so great in game one. I think that's where you're going to see them come at you with a lot more Westbrook-Adams pick and roll. Westbrook's pick and roll game in game two was not good. It was 0.7 points per possession. 38 picks. They had a bad pick and roll game against the Jazz in game two. So that would be contrary to what I'm saying, but I think you saw late in the game, we just ran through those plays, that's what's worked. Defensively, I think you're going to see more switching from the Thunder. That worked fairly well. What's interesting about that is it's harder to hide Carmelo. They put Carmelo on Rubio on a play, so then the Jazz ran an interchange with Rubio. They ran Brewer and Carmelo standing next to each other on a play, and then Brewer would go up when Carmelo's man would go. So then Carmelo had to go back to the corner, and they kicked, and that was, I think, Rubio, and Rubio hit a three out of it. So it's – and this gets into a really interesting thing, which is you are unable at that point to – when they suddenly start switching, they are changing who they are and what they do defensively. And so they're not doing the same stuff that they've done all year long. They've drilled their habits of who they are defensively. So they'll make mistakes. And the question then is, can the Jazz keep them moving, keeping them defending in a manner that makes them make mistakes and not get just caught going across horizontally across the floor? The Jazz key is going to be their ability to keep moving the ball whenever the Thunder go have four hands on the ball. The Thunder defense comes at you on a pick and roll, and their concept is four hands on the ball, almost a double team. The Jazz then have to move the ball off of that anytime that happens. If the Thunder are switching, that's not going to happen. Then they've got to keep moving it, attacking, making inroads, getting the blender going, and getting them moving. The Thunder, to some extent, if the Jazz are playing right, are able to – Thunder, if the Jazz play right, almost start the Jazz blender for them. When they put four guys on the ball, if the Jazz can get off the ball fast enough, then the Jazz have their player movement started. This is so silly and simple, but you got to make shots. And what's interesting in this series is the Jazz have yet to make shots. We talked about this at the end of the podcast the other day where we just kind of found it a little bit more than I anticipated. And that was the Jazz effective field goal percentage in game number two was 47%. If they had an average night with the shots they got, it was a 55.5. So the Jazz have yet to make shots in this series. And they really need to make shots. I know that sounds silly, but if you're going to win a seven-game series, the Jazz are going to have to make shots in two or three of them, and the defense is going to win two of them. Right? The defense wins two of them, and you make shots. Defense won the last one. Now let's see if you can go get those same looks, that same level of looks, and see what you can get done. That's, to me, that's where this, probably the game stands as much as anything. All right, so those are the adjustments that I expect. That's what I expect to see from the Thunder. Offensively, more Adams, Westbrook pick and roll, a little less on some of the other stuff. More switching defensively. I think the Jeremy Grant will attack Rudy Gobert a little bit more in the open floor. I didn't say that. I meant that. Jazz offensively, you've got to get off the ball and then react when they start switching. And make shots. Rubio made shots, but the rest of the group did not. Donovan was 0 for 7. Crowder's not making shots. Ingles, right? Got to make shots. The playoffs are the time to shine, not only for the players and coaches, but for the weather as well, though it doesn't feel that way today. The beginning of the postseason does not mean the beginning of watering season, though. This is really cool. Slowtheflow.org has found Utah's lawn watering guide, because most Utahns aren't sure when to begin watering their lawns, start watering way too early. So Slow the Flow has the playbook to help you all succeed. This tool will let you know when and how often you should be watering to maintain a healthy yard. Scott Girardi, you listening? You lawn maniac, you. The lawn watering guide is updated every week based on specific water needs in your area, so you can be sure you have a winning game plan all spring and all summer long. Not only that, following the guide will help save Utah's water, but it will also help you avoid a lot of potential issues like attracting pests. You can ultimately save a lot of money and time. The truth is, Utah's spring and summer is going to be a 7-game series, and we need everyone's help to come out on top and show. Show your Utah pride and don't begin watering too early. Become the champion of your yard this year. Slow the Flow, save H2O. That's slowtheflow.org. Today's show is also brought by Devin Cash. He's the realtor of the Locked On Podcast Network. I love these emails I get. Richard Molman just sent me an email. Last May in 2017, my wife and I were living in a condo we owned before getting married. And just over a year, my wife did not like living in the multifamily setting, expressed over and over. She'd like to get a house. Our financial situation, I didn't think we had a chance. And so I finally picked up the phone and I called Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. After a few days, he completed his market analysis, came back about $15,000, 8% higher than I anticipated, giving us enough equity to make the move. During the process, Devin lived up to all the hype. I heard about him. He was extremely professional and responsive. He never felt us like we were rushed. It was my wife's first time through the process. He explained every step simply and with patience. It was a seller's market at the time, so we ended up looking around at about 30, 40 houses and put in offers on 7 houses before we finally found ours. In the end, we got a perfect house we were looking for in a quiet neighborhood in Clinton, Utah. And Devin always wants to give you Jazz tickets, but instead he brought them a 55-inch Vizio TV with a sound bar that goes perfectly in the new house so they could watch Jazz games. Devin wants to make sure that you know this, because one of the things Devin wants to make sure you know is it is actually easier to get into a house than you realize. People think you have to have more down. He sent me a text recently that said 83% of first-time home buyers think they need a down payment of 10% or more to buy a home. I was shocked when I read this. I would like to play off those geeky numbers and show people that you actually can do it differently between 0 to 3.5 to 5%. They can call me and discuss it, and I can get them in touch with who they need to figure it out. Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. He's been the realtor for the Locked On Podcast, Locked On Jazz, for this whole time. Done great work for numerous ones of our clients. You can call him at 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. All right. Always running long. Pack Friday. Let's get to it. Uh-oh. Can't get to anything. Microsoft Excel has frozen. Huh. Let's see if I can save this somehow. Close the program. Uh-oh, I'm closing Excel. We suddenly have a problem. We just had a major breakthrough on the program. I hit stop instead of waiting, making you wait through all of my failures. So let's get to it. Now the Excel is back up and running. All right, your top pack players of the NBA season. Number one was Steph Curry at 44.7. If you don't know what pack is because you're new, points above average created. We take a player in the NBA like Steph Curry uses 19.5 scoring opportunities a night. Compare it to the average player in the league. Average player scores 1.1 points per scoring opportunity. And Steph Curry scores 4.7 points more than the average player in his 19 possessions. That is a full 1.2 points better than any other player in the league. Kevin Durant is second at 3.5. That's why they're great, and I still can't pick against them. Harden at 3.1, assuming Steph comes back. Karl Anthony Towns, who is not getting any shot attempts in the playoffs for some mysterious reason, 3.0. LeBron, the fifth best offense, most impactful offense player. Anthony Davis, sixth. Kyrie Irving, seventh. Rudy Gobert, eighth at 2.1. Clint Capella, ninth. Interesting. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 10th. I've said this a million times. You've heard me say it before. If the other eight makes sense and that one doesn't, then maybe you should take a second and reevaluate what you think of Rudy Gobert and Clint Capella as offensive players. But the fact is, part of the reason why the Jazz are able to get 14 three-corner three looks is because the Thunder are so worried about Rudy Gobert because he's dunks. DeAndre Jordan was 11. Dame Lillard was 12. Enes Kanter, 13th. Kevin Love, 14th. Steven Adams, 15th. J.J. Redick, 16th. Montrezl Harrell, 17. Nikola Jokic, 18. Chris Paul, 19. Jonas Valanciunas, 20. Anthony Tolliver in Detroit, very underrated, 21. We'll do the top 30. Klay Thompson was 21st. Kyle Korver, 22nd. Julius Randle, 23rd. Joe Harris in Brooklyn, pretty underrated, 24th. Dwight Powell, underrated, 25th. Jimmy Butler, 26. Joe Ingles, 27. Gary Harris, 28. DeMarcus Cousins, 29. Bojan Bogdanović out of Indiana, 30. Kyle Lowry, Otto Porter, Jakob Poeltl, Darren Collison, Taj Gibson, Reggie Bullock, John Collins, all above one. Final verdict of the season, one guy was in the fours. That's always seems to be the case, Steph Curry. Three others were in the threes, Durant, Harden, and Karl-Anthony Towns, and then another little more than usual is at the end, as another seven were in the twos. So 11 guys were two or better this year, which is a little more. The players who had the worst offensive seasons, most negatively impactful offensive seasons, and played this year were Dennis Smith, Lonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz in his 14 games, Josh Jackson, all rookies, Deion Waiters and Zach LaVine in their limited time, then De'Aaron Fox, another rookie, Chris Dunn, minus 1.9, and Andrew Wiggins. So Andrew Wiggins, the single least efficient, most negatively impactful offense player in the 17 possessions he uses a night. They are 1.8 points below average. That's a lot when you just talked about the fact there's only 11 players in the league that are better than two. If the Timberwolves traded Andrew Wiggins for a bunch of average players and dispersed those possessions, they'd be way better. Avery Bradley, injury-riddled season, was minus 1.7. Carmelo was a minus 1.7. Marcus Smart, minus 1.6. Solomon Hill, limited time, minus 1.6. Another rookie, Frank Ntilikina, minus 1.6. Russell Westbrook, minus 1.6 for the season. Dennis Schroeder, minus 1.5. That's why we should be worried about Paul George, by the way. Tyler Ulis, minus 1.5. John Wall, minus 1.5. Emmanuel Mudiay, minus 1.5. D'Angelo Russell, minus 1.5. Worth noting how many point guards are here. For as much as we criticize Rubio, he's not in this group. Stanley Johnson, minus 1.4. In Detroit, Dwayne Wade, minus 1.3. Frank Mason, rookie, minus 1.3. DeJounte Murray, minus 1.2, another point guard. Lance Stevenson, minus 1.1. Reggie Jackson, another point guard, minus 1.1. Michael Carter-Williams, minus 1.1, another point guard. Malik Monk, minus 1.1. And I'm just getting to the ones. Paul Zipser and Justin Holiday wrap it up. All right, let's take a quick look at the Jazz, and then we'll look at the playoffs. Very limited sample size. Kind of almost absurd. Your Jazz finished with Gobert at 2.1, Joe Ingles at 1.2, Derek Favors at 0.8, Thabo Sefolosha 0.5, Jonas Derebko 0.3, Dante 0.1, Epe Udo even, Neto even, Royce O'Neal minus 0.2, basically even, Alec minus 0.4, which is good for him. Ricky Rubio, minus 0.5. Really, just turned out to be a fine offensive season. He's a little below negative. You'd like him to be up a tiny bit. But when you think about all the other point guards, Donovan, minus 0.6. Jay Crowder, minus 0.6. And that's it. Let's look at the playoffs. Hottest player in the league right now, Chris Middleton through two games. Followed by Klay Thompson through three, CJ Miles, Al Horford, Mike Scott, LeBron James, Nikola Mirotic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, Victor Oladipo, James Johnson in Miami, Jonas Valanciunas, Miles Turner, Clint Capella, all loving their matchups. Who's having a brutal playoffs? Eric Gordon is a minus 5.5. Evan Turner, a minus 5.5. Karl Anthony Towns is 5 of 18 shooting in two games. Jeff Green's 1 of 10. Dame Lillard is minus 4.4 in three games. Wow. And they're down 0-3. Trevor Ariza, minus 4.3. Jason Tatum, minus 4.2. Eric, I don't know your name, Bledsoe, minus 4. Russell Westbrook, minus 4.1. 17 of 44. Russell Westbrook, minus 3.9. Carmelo, minus 3.5. Bojan Bogdanović of Indiana, who was one of the best, is now minus 3.2. Jabari, despite wanting more playing time, is 1 of 7 shooting. And that kind of Kevin Love's not been great. And Andrew Wiggins is in his regular spot. That wraps us up today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate, Slow the Flow, Intercap Lending, and our good friends at Murdoch Hyundai. That is Locked On Jazz. Enjoy Saturday. We'll be there for you after the game. Jazz Game Rewind and the entire Jazz broadcast will be available for you at the Utah Jazz Radio Podcast. Also, go to LockedOnJazz.net to get all the latest information. And, of course, LockedOnSports.com can give you all the information from the Locked On Podcast Network.